Hello again. Wasn't that exciting? Ah, it was great, huh? Golda, congratulations again. Yeah. I don't want to say that you heard my voice quivering a little bit there. It was probably just a little cold or something. Yeah, it's really blessed, really a good special blessing to participate in baptism. You know, as a pastor, or if I'm just watching, or if I'm watching kids watch, or it's just wonderful. And I'm so glad you are here today to witness one of the two beautiful ordinances God gave to His church: water baptism. What's the other one? We sang about it, huh? I'm sorry. Communion, yes. The Lord's Supper, communion. So we celebrate that monthly here. So water baptism is a symbol, and it's so much more. Throughout the Old Testament, God used physical symbols and ceremonies to reveal and teach spiritual truths. You know, when the adults would do those mini ceremonies outlined in the Old Testament books, the kids would probably come up and say, "Mommy, what are they doing?" Or, "Dad, what's that? It stinks. You're burning some poor little animal." And they'd go, "Well, it means this." So we have those truths taught throughout the Bible, throughout the Old Testament. And they are physical symbols and ceremonies that reveal and teach God's people spiritual realities or spiritual truths. And in everyday life, we have symbols or signs that teach us something about the person who is performing the ceremony or who is wearing that symbol. And here's one. Let me show you one. Huh? Cute girls. There's, you know, the school uniform. We know that these two little beautiful girls are wearing their school uniforms. So that's a symbol, right? The uniform is a symbol of belonging to Iwakuni Elementary School in this case. And there's one more there. What's the other symbol here that you can see? Yellow. The yellow means?
First year,
the first grader. And there's one more. Grandfather will make any opportunity to show off his granddaughters. So that's a symbol. So symbols, right? Symbols. So we'll talk about symbols today a little bit. So today we saw baptism, or the word baptize. I baptized Golda here. How many of you didn't even know there was a tank up here? You didn't know, huh? Yeah, we have a tank up here. Yeah. Yeah. I said to Pastor Hiroshi, I said, "We need to make a little bigger so we can baptize them this way." He said, "Big enough." Pastor Hiroshi's way of explaining things is so good. So baptize or bapto, these are the verbs. Baptizo, depending on the use, means to immerse, to dip completely, the Greek, original Greek, or to dunk, not like basketball dunk, but, you know, like when I was a kid, dunk meant, you know, go swimming in the river in the summer and your big brother dunks you under the water and holds you under until the bubbles come up, you know. That's dunk. So that's what it means, really under the water. So the words were from the original Greek. Baptizo is not, you know, it's not a normal English word. It was transliterated by the Bible translators as just as close as they could get, baptized. And baptism is the noun. I wish, and a lot of other pastors I've talked about and listened to, think it would have been really helpful if they would have just translated it as immerse. Then we wouldn't have to explain anything. Everybody knows what immerse means, right? So this word or its noun form is found in all four Gospels and many times throughout the book of Acts when the early church was exploding. And a side note about this is that there are zero unbaptized believers in the New Testament, except the thief on the cross. You know, he couldn't pull him off the cross and baptize him, of course. But everybody else who got saved in the New Testament was baptized in water. So through water baptism, God wants to teach the most wonderful truth of all, and that's the union of believers into the death, burial, right? We buried Golda here under the water, symbolic. Death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is the reality of salvation, right? This is symbolic, but we're going to talk about the reality of salvation. So, okay? Let's look at some scriptures. There are different kinds of baptism mentioned in the New Testament. And the first one we have up here is for John, truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now, baptism in the Holy Spirit, there are a couple of ways to look at it, and I think it has a dual meaning for the original disciples, 120 believers in the upper room. They were baptized. Jesus told them to go there and wait. And as they were waiting, they were baptized. We know they were baptized with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke in tongues, and they went out into the streets speaking languages that people understood. And Peter began to preach a great sermon, which we talked about a little earlier, where 3,000 plus were saved. So that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then these next two verses, a little different. But I have a baptism to undergo and how it consumes me until it is finished. So this is Jesus talking about a baptism. And then the next verse, and Jesus answered and said, you do not know what you ask. A couple of the disciples asked him, can we, you know, we want to sit with you on the throne and beside you. And he said, oh, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink and be baptized? There's the word baptized with the baptism, the noun form that I am baptized with. They said to him, very arrogantly, we are able. And he snickered a little bit, but I don't know if he did. But yeah, so what is the baptism Christ was being baptized into here? A baptism of death, before death.
Fire.
Close. What is fire a symbolic language of? Suffering. Suffering. Yeah, he's being baptized into... You know, before he went to the cross, he was beat, he was his back was beaten raw, and he was tied, so tight that his joints were popped out of place, and then they slapped him around, pulled his beard out, and things like that. So, and he's saying, this is the suffering I'm going through, and the greatest suffering of all was on the cross when he took on our sins, right? I mean, we feel terrible about our own sins. Can you imagine having the sins of the world on you? That was suffering. But Jesus did it. And so they couldn't be baptized into that suffering. But that's a baptism of suffering here that Jesus is talking about. So these verses that I finally put up here are not talking about water baptism. There's no water here. Jesus is talking about the suffering he'll go through. But most of the time in the New Testament, baptize or baptism is pointing toward water baptism. Most of the time, not always. So it's the physical act of showing, part of it is the physical act of showing repentance and cleansing from sin. So you probably all know who John the Baptist is, right? He's that guy who goes to the Baptist church over there? No. John the Baptist was the guy who preceded Christ, and he baptized people and he was baptizing the Jewish community primarily. There might have been some Gentiles in there. But probably mostly, I think, almost all Jewish believers. So that they could show they had repented. And then they had turned back to Jehovah God. And in preparation for the coming of the Messiah. That's what he was doing. And he said that literally. He said, get baptized. You know, repent and be baptized. Get ready. The Messiah's come. Actually, he's on earth and he'll be here in a few days. He didn't say it literally like that, but that's what he was doing. So John's baptism symbolized those believers, those Jewish, primarily Jewish believers, actual repentance. They turned away from their sin, and they were ready to receive Messiah, or so they thought. But they hadn't yet met Jesus. Jesus, at one time when John is baptizing, Jesus does arrive on the scene. You might remember that. But they hadn't met him yet as he was preaching this. Okay, let's go to the next slide. This time I got it. Can you see it all? Yeah, good. So why do we baptize today? Well, Jesus was baptized, right? In Matthew chapter 3, verse 13, then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. Wow. Wow. John was surprised. He said, oh, you need to baptize me. And Jesus said, no, just do it. Jesus was baptized not to show he had repented, because we know he was without sin, but to identify with us. One of the reasons. And for us to see and follow his example. And it was more. Bible teacher Jonathan Pennington wrote this. Jesus repents, and he uses the word repents here because it has a dual meaning. Jesus repents not in the sense of turning from sin. Our repentance necessarily includes this, where Jesus does not, but in the sense of dedicating himself to follow God's will fully on this earth. So repentance, when you repent, you turn away from something and you turn towards something. And Jesus was saying, I'm going to follow God's will completely on earth, and I want all of you to see that. And in that way, Jesus was giving us some guidance. So Jesus' life example calls on all believers to dedicate themselves fully and to follow the Father's will as he did. Right? Got it? That's a big truth. Also, Jesus commanded his early disciples to baptize, which is our text for today. The second one up here. When they heard this, and they being the crowd that was watching these 120 people come out of the upper room, and Peter began to preach. When they heard Peter's preaching, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yeah, so each of you. There are no unbaptized Christians in the New Testament. Jesus commanded all new disciples to be baptized. And our next text, which is very popular, very famous text, Jesus commanded all disciples to baptize. So if I'll explain that later. If you have somebody you want to baptize, yeah, you can do that. Jesus came near and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, doing what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. Commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Matthew 28, 19 through 20. So what is a command? Or a mandate? It is something that must be followed, right? If you're in the military, or if you're a child, a little child, and your parent says, go to bed. You don't go, hey, I don't want to go to bed. Bam, go to bed. It's a command. It's not optional. Right, Mom? Someday you'll be there. Yeah, command. Mandate. So Jesus mandated that all disciples be baptized, and that his disciples also baptize others. Not an option. Jesus says, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. It's not up for debate, according to Jesus. Okay? So Jesus and the disciples stressed the importance of water baptism. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Wow, powerful, right? So if you believe, you get baptized. Amen? Yeah. And then Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. This is after Jesus rose from the dead. Later on, in 10th chapter of Acts, we see that Peter was very adamant about this. He didn't say maybe, if you have time. Right? Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. It was not, you know, if you guys want to, you know, I mean, you might not mess up your hair, you know, mess up your makeup, might not make you comfortable with your family or something. He didn't say that. It wasn't something they debated. So if you want to read through the whole 10th chapter of Acts, you can see how it happened. And our next slide. I'm going through kind of quickly. You can write these down or take pictures if you want, if you're interested. So being baptized in the water, into water, this is the physical symbol. So John the Baptist was baptizing Enon or Eomol, I don't know how you say it, near Salim, because there was plenty of water there. Why? Why was he baptizing there? Because there was plenty of water there, right? What does baptism mean? Immerse, right? Dunk. They needed water. And people were coming to John and being baptized. As they were traveling down the road, they came to some water. The eunuch said, look, there's water. What would keep me from being baptized? So he ordered, and this is a eunuch, he's a very important man. It's maybe the financial minister of Ethiopia here, and visiting. He went to buy some scrolls. He was a proselyte, a believer in God, but hadn't yet come to Christ. So he ordered the chariot to stop. Both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he did what? He baptized him. Amen. This is a very interesting story. If you ever find online Pastor Hiroshi's Japanese message about this story, it's one of his best sermons. It's so funny. He talks about how Philip ran alongside the chariot to catch up, and it's just great. It's great. It's one of my favorites. So, and it doesn't matter if it's in a Christian and I were talking. Where's Christian? Yeah, we were talking before service. And I asked him, where were you baptized? And he said, in the ocean. I said, well, I was baptized in the sea. And, you know, it was great. I was baptized just past Iwakuni, January 11th, maybe 1973 or 4, somewhere. No, 75, 76, somewhere around there. And it was snowing. January was snowing. And there was steam coming off the ocean. And I was baptized in the warm water. I didn't want him to take me out of the water. It was so warm. Yeah, long time ago. So it doesn't matter if it's a baptismal tank or a river or the ocean or the sea. It's water baptism. Wherever you are baptized, water baptism symbolizes our baptism into Christ, which has already taken place. Understand? It's something that is... The water baptism is symbolic of something that has already happened. This doesn't save you. Okay? I'll talk about that a little more. So being baptized into Christ, this is the spiritual reality, right? Let's go back one. This is the physical symbol. The next one is the spiritual reality. Golda, today, was baptized into water. She was immersed into water. Some time ago, I don't know how long ago, I didn't ask her, but when Golda became a real true believer in Jesus Christ, she was instantly, spiritually baptized into Christ at that moment. It means she was covered with Jesus in a manner of speaking. She was covered with Jesus. She was immersed in Jesus. The moment she believed. Not today. That happened a long time ago. When she believed in Christ. So these verses that we're about to read here are regarding being baptized into Christ. Not into water. Into Christ. Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death. In order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life. Right? That happens when you become a Christian. You are a new creation. Right? Second verse. But since that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For through faith, not through water, through faith, you are all sons and daughters of God in Christ Jesus. For those of you who are baptized into Christ, not baptized into water, baptized into Christ, have been clothed with Christ. Amen. Ah, the word of God is so good. The Apostle Paul is basically illustrating or giving us an illustration of what it means to have faith in Jesus Christ. I want to overemphasize, maybe, but these two verses do not mention water. Don't get them confused. As we are totally immersed in water during the baptism ceremony, right? After we become a Christian, when that happens, we are totally immersed in Christ. When you are saved, you are in Christ. He's all around you. He's in you. He's above you. He's below you. He's behind you. He's in front of you. He's all over you. It's a spiritual reality. You are His. So this is why I personally, and I believe the Bible teaches total immersion, and if you watched me, and maybe shocked to Golda a little bit, you watch me, I don't want one thread of her gown to even stay above water. I mean, and some people are a little more buoyant than others, so I have to really push down. You might have seen me, I had to get her under there because it represents our life with Christ. We can't be partially immersed in Christ. We have to be totally immersed, and that's why I do that, and that's why I think the Bible teaches that. Yeah, I'm very careful to put them all the way under. I bury them under the water. And depending on the person, I might leave some under a little longer. Because, I want it to take hold. And if I really know you well, it might take a while, it might get... Yeah. Probably I was held under for a long time. So this being baptized into Christ is what truly saves us. Water baptism doesn't save anyone. If a person is not a Christian, if they haven't met... Everybody okay? All right. Now listen to this point. If a person is not a Christian, that is, they have not been baptized into Christ, they haven't been saved yet, they can be baptized in water 157 times, and it won't save them. It won't give them eternal life. They'll be just getting wet. Nothing more. But, on the other hand, if you have been saved, if you have confessed your faith in Jesus Christ, if you have been baptized into Christ, then you can and should be baptized in water. In water baptism, God is giving us a physical way to experience what happened to us spiritually. Can I read it one more time? In water baptism, God is giving us a physical way to experience what happened to us spiritually. We are physically acting out the spiritual truth that our sins are washed away. Boy, that's a relief. In water baptism, we are physically acting out the spiritual truth that we died with Jesus. We were raised with Jesus. And we live by Jesus Christ. Also, when we are baptized in water, we are making a public proclamation of our trust in Jesus Christ to everyone present, whether physically here, not there yet. No, we'll get there. Jim, you're too eager. Also, so it's a public declaration. So we just did this with all of you, maybe 30 people here or so. Got that, but people all over the world are watching. Golda? A little pressure there. Yeah. So water baptism is a special way of God communicating His love to us. And our way of responding. Right? This is a powerful reminder of God's amazing grace. When we think about our part, water baptism ultimately goes back to Jesus saying this, right? The Bible teaches that you should be baptized. And Jesus said to his disciples, if you love me, you will keep my commands. I believe water baptism is one of those. Water baptism seems like a simple, but I think it's a profound act of obedience that will affect your life with Christ for the rest of your life. You'll never forget this day. When we survey the wonder of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when we grasp the reality of his love and grace, water baptism provides the way for us to express our obedience to him. At the same time, it testifies to the world of God's great salvation. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Your word is true. Your word is a light, guides us, teaches us, encourages us, shows us the right way. Father, we thank you that Golda has come to the knowledge of what baptism meant, and when she realized that, she decided to obey. And we just thank you for her life. We just ask that you would bless her and keep her strong in the faith. And Lord, for those of us here today who observe that, Lord, we thank you for blessing us with Golda's life and the sacrament that you have left us with, which truly encourages and blesses your people. And we pray for those around the world who have seen this, and Lord, their lives would be touched as well. For those who see this and who aren't Christians yet, they will long to meet you, Jesus. Those who are Christians and who have yet been baptized, Lord, will give them a little push to obey you as they are seeking water baptism. Lord, we praise you for today's service and the many blessings that we've all experienced here. If there's someone here, Lord, who doesn't know you yet, I pray that they will open their hearts and receive your truth into their lives. Receive Jesus Christ as their Lord, their Savior, and their King. If there's a believer here who is yet to be baptized, Lord, we pray that this message was an encouragement to them as well. Father, we thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.